The scripture today comes from the Old Testament Psalms, Psalm 68, verses 1 through 10 and 32 through 35. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook, and the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, and sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today is about memories and remembering things, and also looking forward. As Joyce said, that our memories are the foundation for the future and what we place our hope in. And the last song, we pray that that those who we memorialize, who we remember this weekend, those who have given their lives, that they truly are dancing with Jesus, that they truly are in a place where there is no more pain or tears. That is our faith. There is so much that I could talk about, and I just don't have the time to do that. I can't wait to be in eternity where time is no more, and then it won't matter. But here we have limitations on that. I want to talk about the idea of God's providence in our lives. The fact that in Psalm 68, the psalmist says, and we believe it was David who wrote this psalm, it's a psalm of David, let the Lord rise up. I think that's a huge, huge need for us to return to that call in the church. Let the Lord rise up. You know, we're so used to looking for human beings, for political leaders and for religious leaders and others to rise up and lead us. David says, let the Lord rise up. The children of Israel went through the wilderness. When they crossed over the Jordan, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. They raised it up on their shoulders. Let the Lord rise up. When they took it up into Jerusalem, it was for them symbolic of the fact that they were letting the Lord rise up. We need to be praying that the Lord will rise up and bring forth his will in this world. I believe that more than ever, and that should be the message of the church. Psalm 20, David says that, unlike the nations, we do not trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the Lord Almighty. Too often we're tempted to place our trust in lower things and not to keep our eyes on the one who is over all. I'm going to play a clip in just a second from the movie Glory, a wonderful movie about an African-American regiment during the Civil War led by a white officer, and Captain Shaw leads them into battle. And the scene that we're going to see here, because they are black, because most of them are former slaves, they have not been allowed to really enter into battle yet. They kind of do the cleanup. They're more like the servants of the military than they are real soldiers. Fort Wagner was attacked on July 11th, 1863. If you know your dates there, that's just the week following the Battle at Gettysburg. So there's that turning point in the war. Fort Wagner was along the coast of South Carolina. It was a key place that blocked the Union for sending ships and troops up to get into South Carolina. It needed to be taken. In the first battle of Fort Wagner, which was fought July 11th, a white regiment went in and lost over 300 men. The Confederates lost only 12. And so this 54th Regiment from Massachusetts has volunteered to go in the next attack. Seeing those overwhelming odds that by more than 20 to 1, the casualties were against them in that first battle, they said, "We will go." And what you're going to see is the scene the night before. Are they shaking in their cots as they await the next day? Are their fears overwhelming them? What are they doing? How do they prepare themselves for battle? So I want us to go ahead and play that, Faye.
No sleep that night. Run, run, step in hand. Tell my father, master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, Lord, tomorrow, we go into battle.
All right.
So, Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and good book in the other.
Yeah.
That if I should die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I may know that you... Blessed Jesus Almighty are with me.
We see him. We're with him.
And I have no fear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Lord, we stand before you this evening to say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings. Now, I run off and left all my young'uns and my kinfolk in bondage. So I'm standing here this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask your blessings on all of us.
Amen.
So that if tomorrow is our great getting up morning, if tomorrow we have to meet the judgment day, Heavenly Father, we want you to let our folks know that we died facing the enemy. We want them to know that we went down standing up amongst those that are fighting against our oppression. We want them to know, Heavenly Father, that we died for freedom.
Amen.
We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The 54th lost 54 men died. Same number as the regiment. 54 of those men died the next day. They were buried in a mass grave by the Confederates. The Confederates buried Captain Shaw and the other white officers with the black soldiers. They considered that a great insult to them. when their families back up north found out, they were thankful. They knew that's what they would have wanted. I think of all the soldiers and sailors and airmen, Marines, who died in places they were buried in mass graves, or maybe their bodies were never found. As Joy said earlier, after the Civil War, people on both sides went and buried their enemies, decorated their graves for years after, because they realized that we're all the children of the one God. The war is over. There is still the one God. He calls us to love our enemies, to care for each other. When we let God rise up in our hearts, reveal the truth of who we are, that we are at our best. Psalm 68 tries to get the people of Israel to come back and to remember who they were. The God who led them through the Sinai. The God who they looked up to, who they relied upon, and like in the scene that we just saw, who they sang to in the hardest times, songs of faith and celebration for the victories won. I don't hear that a lot today. I don't hear a lot of credit given to God. We are a world that believes that we hold our destinies in our hands. God has little to do with it. Peter tells his people in the scripture that was cited earlier by Shauna in the children's time, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you also may be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed." There are two other favorite stories of mine, besides glory, that have come out in recent years. One is Hacksaw Ridge. Many of you may have seen the movie, a wonderful movie. In that movie, a young man, a Virginian from Lynchburg, maintains his belief that God has called him to defend his country, to aid the wounded, but to do it without a gun, a weapon. And he goes through a very hard time to stay by that belief. Basically tortured within the army until they finally relent. He was the only soldier in World War II to enter into battle without a weapon. Even the medics, the corpsmen, had weapons, but he refused. He refused to touch the weapon. This came out of the domestic abuse that he had seen and endured as a child, the violence that he had seen. And his Christian faith told him, I can do this without it. He ended up in the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge at Okinawa, saving 75 men. He always believed that God was with them through the whole thing. The men who witnessed it and saw this and heard of it could not believe such a thing could happen. And their faith in God grew when they saw the miracle that this man was. But there's another movie called Unbroken. And it comes out of a book. And I would recommend to anyone, who, if you've seen the movie already or you're going to see it, read the book. Because the movie does a terrible, terrible disservice to the story of Louis Zamperini. Louis, as a young man, was always in trouble. He hated school. He broke the law, and he was always running from the local sheriff. His older brother was a star on the track team at the high school, and he encouraged his brother to go out for track. Louis didn't want to. But his brother said, well, if you can run on the track like you do from the law, you'll be great. So Louis's out in California in high school, and he begins to run. And before you know it, Louis's winning races. And before you know it, he's breaking national records. And he's getting a name for himself. Before you know it, it's 1936, and he's running for the United States in the Olympics in Germany, the infamous Olympics where Jesse Owens ran and where Adolf Hitler presided over to show the superiority of the Aryan race. Louis did well, but he was really looking forward to the next 1940 Olympics, which never took place because World War II broke out in Europe. And so he ended up being trained as a pilot. And out in the Pacific, he's given a really bad plane. He really hates this plane. And eventually, the plane has mechanical failure, and he has to ditch it. And he and two others in the crew survive the crash. And they're on a raft out there in the Pacific, expecting someone to find them. But weeks go by. And by the end of this, they have spent three times longer in the Pacific than anyone on record in a raft and surviving. One of the men does die during that time. But Louis and the other one are picked up by a Japanese ship. Saved their lives, but also put them into a couple of years of imprisonment in Japanese prisons. Eventually, they're in Japan. And along the way, he is tortured, and he comes to really hate the Japanese. He comes to hate the ones who are so cruel. After the war, he comes back. His family had thought for those couple of years that he was dead. They had no word of him. Until the Japanese had found out that they had an Olympic star with them, and they broadcast this news on the radio, and someone picked up the broadcast, and eventually the word got back to his mother that Louis is apparently in Japan, a prisoner. When he's released, he comes back to the States. He falls in love. He marries the woman of his dreams. But he cannot get over the memories. A stress disorder that is just something he cannot endure any longer. So he begins to drink. He begins to medicate himself to get through this. As he drinks more and more, his marriage begins to dissolve. The movie never tells that post-war part. It ends with his release from the prison. Now, remember, the movie is called Unbroken. So the message of this is that he endured the war unbroken, which is true. They never were able to break him. But he is broken after the war. It's an amazing thing. He endures the conflict, the imprisonment, but it's the memories that break him. And finally, he ends up unwillingly at a Billy Graham crusade in Los Angeles. Remember that Billy Graham's a young guy at this time. It's the 1940s. He gives his life to Christ. This is the part they don't tell in the movie. He's unbroken because God heals his brokenness. He goes on and he runs a camp for kids, and his faith was known by everyone. And eventually it leads him to go back to Japan, and it goes back to Japan, and the guards in the prisons that he were in, many of them are now war criminals, and they are in prison. And he asks if they could be gathered up, and he wants to speak to them. And he goes, this man who was so filled with hate, and he forgives them. He casts his cares upon the Lord. And he forgives them, and the weight is taken off of him. Eventually, he goes back to Japan, the last Winter Olympics they had in Japan, in the 2000s, not too many years ago. He's an old man by this time, and he actually runs with the torch, the Olympic torch in Japan. He let the Lord rise up in his heart. Alcohol wasn't going to do it. Nothing was going to do it. Nothing would heal him again, would cure the brokenness, except for the Lord God Almighty. Folks, it's Memorial Day, and we're remembering sacrifice, but let's also remember the God who sustains those who fight on our behalf, the God who is with them, the unseen angels that are there. Let's remember that God was with them, and that God is with us today. Let us not fear. Let us not rely on chariots and horses or anything that human beings ever come up with, but upon the Lord our God, the God who rises up and protects us, who cares for the orphan, who cares for the poor, the victims of injustice, and who cares for us this day. We're going to sing our song of discipleship, This Is My Song. And it talks about God being a God of all the nations. Louis Zamperini, like many Americans, his fathers were immigrants from Italy. We need to remember, as we close in and try to exclude others, that we are a nation of immigrants. I have immigrants in my family, first generation in my family. And they have been great Americans. So let's remember and honor all those who have died because they believed what they were doing was right, and keep them in our prayers. Let God rise up this day. I discovered some letters from the women of this church who were supporting a family in Germany after World War II. Imagine that. Imagine all the things we know about what the Germans did in that war. And the women here were sending aid over to Germany to help that family. And there's a photograph of the family, too. The father's there in the shorts and the lederhosen, very German-looking family. That's the greatest thing about Americans, I think. And it comes out of that predominance of Christian faith in our country, that we understand that there is a time for war, and there is a time for peace, and there is a time for healing. May we always be healers. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for those who have gone out and fought the good fight for us. We also thank you, Lord, for those who have fought the peace. In the peace, Father, they have sought healing, that there would be no more war, no more need for sacrifice of lives. So we pray this day, Father, truly for all lands and all peoples, that there would be peace. Ultimately, we know that true peace only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Father, this day, may our hearts be with you. May you rise up in our hearts. May peace truly be in them. And may we go forth as disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And amen.